Didn't you pull
I
something out of
didn't
the middle
know.
of the show for the cold open last time?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Pulled it from the beginning of the show. As that's the definition of a cold open, not a cold middle. Maybe if we find something funny during the middle of the show, you can just stick a cold middle in there.
I'm drinking a cold middle light.
Oh,
And there it is.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too woo! Kind. Woo! Yeah.
Ready?
Woo! Woo!
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
Yeah.
Now what the hell are you waiting for? After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, make some noise.
Get him, Jay.
What's up, Who Dat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is zero, but as mentioned in the cold open, I'm drinking a cold middle light. I think from now on, I'm just going to call them middle lights. And the only reason I'm drinking that is because I ran out of my Abita sweet tangerines, because they were so good, I drank them all. Anyway, it's finally here. Eh? Eh? We are recording this episode on the eve of the start of the 2017 training camp because we are so excited about this upcoming season. We couldn't wait for the actual training camp news to come out before we started talking about it. Now, you might say, but Jeff, Darnell Ellaby is already hurt. Isn't that news that's come out before camp? And to that I say, no, sir, it is not. Because if you'd have told me that he was healthy, that would be news. And so, with that squared away, let's put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. You got a number?
I do. Somewhere in between a one and a two. Had a Red Bull and vodka because I'm tired today. I mean, I'm working on a lot of days of not a lot of sleep, getting early to watch the Open Championship the last few days. I needed a little pick-me-up. Had some donkey bites for dinner. Now I got a little bourbon, so probably a smooth two.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling tonight?
I'm optimistic for training camp there, Jeff.
Aha! That's two episodes in a row that Damon is optimistic. We're going to start logging these. Okay. By the end of the season, we'll say, well, he's had seven optimistics, four happies, two excited, and 14 pissed offs.
I hope to God not. I want to see so many goddamn optimistics
right?
and happies. We've had enough pissed offs over the last three seasons of seven.
Oh, yeah.
I'm over, like
you said, the news coming out of the Saints, it does seem to be that some of their players are in mid-season form. That'll be hurt. You know, so.
Not the kind of midseason form you want.
Well, for LRB, it's preseason, midseason, and postseason.
So let's use that as the segue into fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people with the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse.
Not true.
It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons I'm here today is to...
And, I mean, I guess the best thing to come out of the LRB news is the fact that he will, in fact, be waived. Finally.
Whenever he's officially healthy, they'll waive him. They estimate 3 to 4 weeks, which means it's going to be 7 to 8 weeks until he officially gets waived. But look, when the news came out today, because a couple of days ago they announced the PUP list and he's on it, like true to form, no surprises there. And then today, didn't pass physical, waived, and it brought me back to a couple shows ago when we were talking about the linebacker position. And we're trying to figure out, all right, who's going to start, who's going to play. And even though LRB, it was the most talented linebacker on the roster, I said he's not going to be on the team because he's not going to be healthy.
Right. When he could get on the field, he was a force. He was. But he can't get on the field.
He played 37.5% of the games since being in the Saints uniform.
All right. I'd rather... Not have him on the team.
Not since C. Grant have we had a linebacker with more talent who couldn't get on the field.
Ooh, C. Grant. I remember being optimistic when we drafted C. Grant. Like, that motherfucker's an athlete. Fucking right. We got a nice linebacker.
And Hazard kept singing his praises, and the son of a bitch could never play. Could never get healthy.
I mean, Ellerby had to be one phenomenal piece of talent because of how long they did keep him around to hopefully get on the field.
Right. Well, not just us, but Miami before us.
Right.
And then I think Buffalo before that, or the Jets?
No, he was the Ravens. He was on the Ravens Super Bowl team.
In 2012?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So he parlayed that.
Great.
Into the
He's going to be great.
He parlayed that into the big contract with Miami. I think he played 15 games that first year in Miami, and then, nothing.
You know who probably told the Saints to go ahead and take a chance on him because he's about to be healthy, permanently healthy, was the Ochsner medical staff that we pay to do all of our player health evaluations and treatments and diagnoses and whatnot. And speaking of which, our next piece of fake news is by now you will have heard that they're naming the... What is it? Is it just the? Is it the whole campus?
I think it's the whole. As far as I know, it's the whole complex. It's just the scuttlebutt that I have heard. So on Twitter, the Saints/Pelicans, well, both of them announced there's going to be a big news conference tomorrow. Saints Pelicans big news conference tomorrow at I think 11 o'clock. So we're like, ooh, what could that be? They're kind of making a big deal about it. I'm thinking, okay, is that maybe? You remember how they were talking about upgrades to the Superdome, possibly extending the lease? I'm like, okay, is this what that is? That would be pretty big news, I think. Because as of right now, fans are kind of speculating, man, what is it going to be? They're kind of getting excited about it. Is it going to be big news? Is it going to be something? Right, right. But supposedly they're announcing the Metairie facility will now be called the Ochsner Sports Performance Center.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So that's the big news that they're going to be announcing tomorrow.
So now it's no longer, what is it? No longer the Saints and Pelicans.
Saints Pelicans facility.
Facility. It's Ochsner's facility that the Saints and Pelicans get to use.
Well, continue to get internet.
Well, of course, that's what it is. Money talk.
Yeah.
But it's stupid.
Well, it'd be one thing if we didn't have shitty diagnoses for the last. However many years.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, they're naming the facility. I mean, I guess the sportscasters will refer to it as that, you know, in broadcast or on print media, but...
We'll still call it
Saints. We just call it the Saints headquarters.
Right. The Saints facility, Pelican.
Saints facility, right. You know, airline
the official...
drive. I don't know what the, you know.
The airline drive. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking old David drive.
Oh, that's going way back.
But
that was a shitty facility.
Right. It wasn't even a facility.
Yeah, that was a bunch
of
connected
like
a
print. Open field under some power lines with some metal
high
school bleachers.
That was I don't know if y'all had ever.
It was the old rusted bleachers from Grace King Elementary. After they got finished with them for 50 years.
Yeah, that was horrendous. How they won any games playing there.
Potholes in the field over there. I get it. You get a bunch of money from Ochsner. You give them some naming rights. It's whatever.
Suppose, there's going to be Ochsner will be presented with whatever. There'll be a plaque on the wall or some shit. But, it's like now you're getting fans in a tizzy. Like, ooh, could this be something fun and exciting? And, I mean, it's really going to amount to not much of anything. Like, it's not going to change anybody's.
But the deal with Ochsner, I mean, wow, Ochsner's just putting their name on all kind of. I mean, they're buying up every hospital in the surrounding area, or they already have.
They may as well. I saw they're building. I don't know if it's completed yet. They're building a big new facility in St. John.
Yeah, like
on airline.
Town hospitals are now Ochsner centers. Yeah, a lot to do about nothing. But again, we'll see how much money Ochsner gave them.
Well, they're not going to disclose that.
They're going to disclose that.
No, but I'm sure it'll be somewhere to be found. And when you find out, then you'll understand why they had to say big news conference. Well, I mean, they're buying naming rights. You got to make a big deal about it. They're giving you a lot of money. Yeah. Money talks.
Yeah.
Put your name on things, no matter how bad your medical staff are. So I guess that means that we are stuck with this medical staff for a little while.
Until the contract runs out.
All right. So then, any other fake news coming out other than the actual, you know, training camp will start, you know, as we're recording, I'll say tomorrow. And well, it's really just showing up.
Yeah, showing up. The first padded practice is Saturday. But you have the guys on the PUP, which we thought, you know, no surprises, Unger, Armstead, right. Both on the PUP. Willie Snead signed his tender. You know, they're still hoping to work out a long-term contract, but the Saints technically don't have to. I mean, Snead can't go anywhere, so currently he signed his tender, I think it's $600,000. Pretty good deal for a guy who's going to get 80 catches, 1,000 yards. So, I mean, I know they want to try to – there's still a couple – there's him with you also have Vaccaro going into the last year of his deal. Loomis isn't usually the one to give out contracts super early unless it's for crazy people like Junior Gallette. But so we'll see. That'll just be something to watch, him and Vaccaro, whether they get – new deals during training camp. I mean, Snead definitely deserves it. He's definitely going to be underpaid, but on the business of the NFL, the Saints don't have any obligation to have to pay him. So
if he performs, then pay him. And...
Well, I mean, the feeling is, you know, he's got 2 years here. He's gotten a little better each year. You pay him now, you might be able to save a few bucks compared to if you got to give him another contract next year or the year after when he can, assuming he continues to put up these stats, which, look, receivers who play in an offense with Drew Brees tend to do that. Especially after getting rid of Brandon Cooks. You know, that's clearly, to me, going to increase Snead's role in the offense. So it seems like his stats are given to go up. So, yeah, why not see if you can work out a decent deal now and save yourself some dollars next year?
Okay. And don't forget, we're going to get to see Trayvon Dural. I guess fighting Tommy Lee Lewis for, among other guys, for
Lewis, Lampman, you know, those guys will be batting a lot for the fifth receiver spot. I think our first four are pretty set.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, Snead, Ginn, Coleman's probably number four, and then you've got everybody battling out for number five.
Now, you think maybe Coleman's got a lockup four? Or, I mean, he's had plenty of time to break out, and I mean, he had okay year last year.
Yeah, I don't know if he has a lock, but he's definitely the, you know, leader.
He's leader got a big advantage.
Four, but I would imagine Tommy Lee Lewis could actually take the four spot and make Coleman fight for number five.
What do you have with – is Tommy Lee Lewis like your Nate Stupar on offense?
He's my sneaky pick. Very, very sneaky.
Okay.
I don't know. I liked what I saw from him last year.
I mean, I think the first four are locked up. That fifth will be an interesting battle. We'll see. And even if Dural doesn't make it, you can still stick him on the practice squad.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody's going to be clamoring for him. I mean, he was undrafted, so, you know, it's nice to have football back. It seems like yesterday that the Falcons were blowing a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl.
Seems like we were talking about that just yesterday.
Because I think we were.
So, other position battles where we have a lot of guys fighting for a few spots. What do you say, linebacker?
Well, especially with Ellerby being gone now, I mean, I think Klein is a guarantee to start.
He was always guaranteed to start.
He was. So now you're looking at a couple of other. So who do you think are our two other linebackers? I had to think Robinson.
Mankato.
I mean,
forgot he was on the team, didn't you?
Yeah.
Just like his girlfriend, he's invisible. And they signed Michael Malti back this week.
Yeah, apparently he was getting a little interest from Houston, so we signed him. Michael Malti's actually signed for a bigger contract than what Willie Snead's getting. Think about that.
You get the family discount. Hometown hero.
So that's probably the biggest battle, I think. Just because Klein is the only for sure guy. I think he's definitely the guy in the middle.
Right.
I mean, Robertson should. It appears to have a little bit of an edge, considering he played pretty well last year. But now this brings in, you got Tao, you got Anthony still, Anzalone. That's going to be the position battle that I'm looking at. And that's the big question. Can they somehow resurrect Anthony? Can Mike Nolan find something in him and turn his career around?
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, yeah.
On this summer's season of training camp turns.
I'm assuming, Damon, you're not planning to go to any practices?
I might go to one. You know now they're giving out tickets for practices, right?
Yeah, you got to sign up for tickets to go, yeah.
Yeah, so I signed up for the three Mondays, which is the 31st, the 7th, and the 14th. So I got tickets for those three, you know. I'm not going to go to all three of them, but I think I'll head down there one of them and sit and watch, you know, the practices. Now that they're back in Metairie.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't get to see much. But I think I stop me if I've told y'all before. But there was, and I can't remember the player's name. But back when Hazard was the coach, my nephew and I went to practice, and there was a defensive lineman, big fat bastard. Surprisingly, you could watch him during camp, during, like, you know, during warm ups and everything. He was just half assing it. You could, you know, barely going through the motions. And sure enough, that year he had a terrible year, and, you know, his performance on the field suffered. But when I go to camp, I like to see who's giving the hustle, who's giving the effort, because that will show you what kind of year. Or it does. How you practice is how you play. How about that? You know. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's always enjoyable if you're a fan and you know you're local and you get a chance to go. I think you should. I think you'll enjoy it.
Especially when it's still early enough. Most people still have optimism. Yeah.
Right. Well, preseason's always optimism. You know.
Yeah. You're right.
Unless you're Cleveland, you know, or Buffalo.
Yeah. So speaking of optimism, it was nice. I got my tickets in yesterday.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in the tickets.
There's definitely not much to them.
No, I mean, the presentation is pretty cool. You know, how instead of now, well, you know the tickets are they're packed individually now. Before, if you had, like Jason and I, we have two tickets. They all came in the same little, what do you call it? You know, little...
It was almost kind of like an old bound school notebook with, like, the rings on the outside.
Right.
But you'd have the two pages, like, the tickets.
Right.
Like both tickets, game 1 through 5, were the first two pages, and then the game 6 through 10 were the next two pages.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, so... But they're just black with the Florida Lee on them and the opponent's helmet and the smaller underneath the Florida Lee. It's a pretty ticket. I don't know. Jeff tweeted out last week, you know, when we were talking about memorabilia we had, that you could see, you know, the tickets had the play, you know, an action shot of the players on them the last several years. That's what. So this is different. I don't know. I mean.
Well, when you got 3 7-9 seasons is the kind of ticket you get.
You think so? Is that what it is? I don't know.
Plus, they burned their ticket budget last year when you had the 50th, you know, anniversary logo on them too. Those gold 50th anniversary.
Right. I guess. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's fun. But the package seemed less. You know, even the decals, the season ticket holder decal that you put on your car. That was smaller than in years past. I don't know. You're right. It definitely seemed like they cut their budget for for tickets.
Yeah, because it was just the two ticket books, the two stickers, and then usually they give, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 flyers or sheets of paper, right, or whatever about the season, and it was just like 2 or 3 pages.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely smaller.
Yeah.
Shake a body liner. Work, Sinora. Work it on the timer. Dance, Sonora. Dance it on the timer.
how many games was it last year? We were on the.
There was like five or six games
that could have gone our way.
The Raiders game, you know, that
the Raiders game,
made,
yep.
the Denver game,
the Giants game, the block kick, the Denver game, the block. A bunch of those were just block kicks.
We're so close to going 10-6.
We got talent. We just need luck and health.
Right. Little.
Well, the health bar's out the window.
Well.
Already, and that's kind of a bad sign. But
so you're saying there's a chance.
Look, as long as we got number 9, there's a chance.
All right.
We just need, you know, the hope is that the new defensive coaches that we brought in can turn it around.
Yep. Yes.
Any other position battles for training camp that you want to call out? Any predictions on who wins those battles? I mean, clearly there's not going to be a battle for offensive line.
Well,
because you've only got 4 guys to fill 5 spots.
We need to see if Ramczak can cut it at left tackle. Otherwise, they're talking about kicking Pete out the left tackle. I'm like, you know, I'd kind of rather keep Pete at left guard. But if Ramczak can't cut it, and you got to put in Kelemente, and then we don't know who the fuck's going to play center. We got to put Kelemente at guard. That is going to be an interesting, not necessarily a battle, but
yeah, it will be interesting to see how it plays out, though.
Very.
And then, and the quarterback position, you got a battle for backup, don't you?
I mean, I think it's
you thought
Chase
I was
going to
make some stupid Drew Brees joke, didn't you?
Did you just say Breezes?
I did not.
No. Oh.
Not this time.
Not that time.
I mean, yeah, right, I is mean, it going to be Chase Garrett? Do you keep both?
No. Chase Daniels, the backup. Then that's it.
So bye-bye, Garrett. And didn't they say that they signed this other kid or something a couple weeks ago?
They did. It's not going to matter. He'll get to participate in those QB challenges at training camp. That's about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe, you know, defensive tackle. So you're going to have Rankins in there, and then who steps up for Fairley spot? Is it Davidson? Is it maybe Omanyata?
Yeah,
and then the opposite defensive end on Cam Jordan. Is it Okafor? Is it, you know, the rookie we drafted? But to me, linebacker is the biggest. I think it's the most open because you got one surefire linebacker, and then everybody else battling for those other 2 spots. I mean, I think cornerback's pretty set, assuming health. You're going to have Bro, Lattimore, and PJ Williams as your 3rd. Our safeties are set. I mean, I think. It seems like the secondary is going to be the strength of the team this year. Now, that's, of course, before we get concussions and broken bones. So, you know, one other thing that we really haven't talked about in the offseason that I'm expecting, decent improvement next year is special teams. You know, finally getting rid of McMahon and bringing another guy, and, you know, maybe our special teams can finally turn around a little bit, because that would be huge. You know, that's a huge, if you can get any kind of defensive touchdown during the year, would be huge. And you got Lutz's 2nd year. You know, it seems like he could be a competent kicker. Just last year he struggled early, but at the end of the season, man, he was on point. So it'll be, you know, the subtraction of McMahon. You know, that'll be a big, you know, nobody's really talking about it a lot right now, but that's going to be another big part of the team. So, again, just some improvements here in special teams, some slight improvements on the defense, and just like that, with the offense that we have, you know, we can get back in it.
All right. So then let's get into a little look at him tweets. This first one comes from CJG, also known as Whore Islander, saying, who's going to be the Saints' leading rusher this year? And also, does Damon jerk off to the Tom Brady Got Milk ad or what? have you seen that thing?
I have not, but I'm sure he did jerk it. I think Ingram leads the team in rushing. Still, Peterson's going to have some really good games, but, you know, they're going to...
Change of pace?
Because of it. Well, I mean, because of his age... You know, there's no need to make him a workhorse. You know, the guys are going to maybe earlier on split carries, maybe in the middle of the season, give Ingram more carries and try to keep Peterson fresh, especially if they can get up to a hot start and looks like they might make a playoff run. I would think they'll definitely keep Peterson fresh. So, I mean, I just think Ingram's the younger number one guy. I think he leads the team in rushing.
Okay. I'm not going to – no arguments there. I think it makes sense, sound logic.
He's still the, I mean, he's still the guy. It's weird.
Adrian Peterson's going to lead in the running back receiving yards category. No?
I'm going to – that might be Kamara. I think Kamara might lead the team in receiving yards.
I think it's Kamara.
No, that's what you take pictures with.
Aha. All right. we got
Ingram will – you know, is a decent pass catcher, but I think Kamara's going to surprise some people. He's going to be a fairly dynamic playmaker in the passing game, I think, to help offset the loss of Cooks this year.
All right, man. That next tweet comes in from @Pasternot, saying, what's worse, the Bills losing 4 Super Bowls in a row or Atlanta blowing a 25-point lead? What will be remembered in the long run?
Ooh.
That's actually
That's a good question. Wow.
I think Saints fans will remember the Atlanta one more than the 4 Super Bowls for the Bills.
Okay. But let's say, take that. Let's say you were a Falcon fan or you were a Bills fan back in the 90s. Like, would you feel more devastated?
Like, what fan base would be more devastated?
Right. I mean, that's tough.
That's two different. It's two different levels of types of devastation, maybe both equally devastating. Because, I mean, you had it. The Lombardi Trophy was all in the case. And then Tom Brady and them just basically came drive by and said, yeah, we'll take it. We're going to take that.
I mean, that's the thing. The Falcons probably had a 99% chance of winning that game.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were up 28-3 with 2 minutes and 8 seconds left in the third. I mean,
But man, going to the Super Bowl,
lose, go to the Super Bowl and be like, okay, now it's we lost again. Then you go again, you're like, oh, you know what? Something like this doesn't happen. This is our third time's a charm. Nope, we lost again. This is never going to happen again. Oh, wait, no, we're back? Surely. There's no way in hell that we're going to – son of a bitch.
Well, and not only that, like, the first Buffalo loss was crushing because it was – you know, they had the 40-whatever-yard field goal to win it, and he just pushed it right. I mean, just – you know, that's like, man, came down to the last thing. Guy missed a kick. Like, that's fucking crushing. And you're like, that's all right, we'll be back. And then you go back, and then they just get blown out. They got blown out by Washington, blown out by Dallas twice.
Yep.
It wasn't like, that's just, man, you all excited, you get the Super Bowl, and it's just, it's not even a competition. Just deflating, man. That's
shows how bad the AFC was back in, you know, look, in the late 80s, early 90s, the NFC had a run of 13 straight Super Bowl victories.
They did, but man, dude, Buffalo was fucking good, though.
They were. No, Buffalo had a great team.
But I don't know what's worse. What is worse? I mean, take your Atlanta hatred.
Atlanta's worse because you thought you had won. It would be like us. Try to imagine this. It would be like if we had lost the Super Bowl after Tracy Porter's pick six.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Okay,
I think is worse because you're right, Damon.
Right, 100%. Because look, we can all remember watching that game. We went up by 7. Patriots are driving. We're nervous. We know they're going to tie.
You mean Colts are driving?
The Colts are driving. Who did I say?
You got Patriots on the brain.
Oh yeah, the
Colts. He's jerking off. Well, because milk
I mean, they're already in the Super Bowl. If you say Patriots, you kind of being right, but. But the Colts are driving, and come on, the Saints fan, especially back then, we said, okay, they're going to score. The best they can do is tie, you know, and then we score again. And then Tracy Porter gets that pick six with 3:50 left in the game.
There's
and it's
no
like,
fucking way that they're going to win.
Right. And I mean, I can remember myself, I'm sitting there doing the math. Okay, great, 3:50 left.
Right.
Nothing big, nothing quick. You know, just slow the game down. And I can remember when they used their final time, the Colts used their final timeout, under 2 minutes to play. I thought, oh my God, if we get the ball back, they can't stop it.
Right.
You know, they
Right.
All we have to do is get the
point, I don't care.
Right. right. Then it became to they're going to score, and we need to recover the onside kick. You know what I mean? That, you know. Right. So, but we had won. We're up 14 points. Atlanta's up 25 points. Been dominating.
And dominate, right.
Dominating the entire game. You know, that's the thing. The Colts, I don't feel like they ever dominate. I don't feel like either team ever dominated.
No, it was a heavyweight battle, Saints and the Colts.
Right, even though after the first quarter, we outscored them 31-7. I mean, would you?
Yeah, I mean, we
you'd have to say it's dominant.
Yeah, but after that first 10 points, we.
But you know, yeah. but.
But it didn't feel like it. You know,
it didn't. Right. It didn't feel like that. No team, you know, and so. So, I mean, no, man, we won. And, again, Atlanta was like, you know, this is going to be our first championship. And blowing that lead, I mean, that again, I've said it for the last 6 months, that is soul-crushing. Trust me, they lost literally, I'm going to say literally, 6% of their fan base. Now, there's 6% of people who were fans before that said, fuck this, I can't take this anymore. I can't take it anymore. Right.
Well, so that brings up, there's a video that Brandon Guidry tweeted over to us, originally posted by Jake White at TrueWho.12. It says, every Saints fan should watch this. And it's a video, a funny, fun little kind of a research on the history of the Falcons' tradition of blowing it. It goes from like their beginning all the way through all their seasons, you know, the history of the Falcons and how they, every time they had something, they found a way to blow it. I really didn't realize that the Falcons did not have back-to-back winning seasons until
2008.
Could you imagine that?
I don't know, dude. We didn't have a winning season until 1987.
So what? Doesn't matter. We strung two of them together.
Right.
Enjoying the Falcons' misery. You also had the year in 2012 when the Falcons were the number one seed and lost the NFC title game at home.
Right.
Or to San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, you watch that at your
leisure. That was also a comeback victory.
Yeah, they did have
Atlanta had a lead.
Well,
not
that's
as
the point.
Far.
You know what else they did? Don't forget, they scored 2 points in a playoff game.
Right, against the Giants, right.
So, yeah, to watch the video. Anyway, all right, so here, this one coming in from JTL155. When Ellerby's finally cut and returns home, does he get injured on the flight back or after he gets home?
He's injured before he even gets on the flight.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the answer to that question.
He stubs his toe.
He gets injured in the x-ray machine.
Yeah. Entering the x-ray machine. All right, this one coming in from Brandon Guidry. What's the over-under? Or who's taken over under 5 interceptions by the secondary in 2017?
Oh,
I'm going over. I really like the secondary on this team.
All right, Damon.
I really think they're going to play well.
Damon, you said what? Over?
I said over. Yeah. It's going to be over. They'll have a. They'll have a league average, whatever. I'm not sure what the league average is.
Good pressure from the line that'll help.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're hoping for pressure from the line, but I just think there's a lot more talent back there with
You lost your boy on the line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if anything, it should be over just because there's no more Jarris Bird back there.
Right.
All right. We got then Dalton Bark. Wreck saying over under, another over under. Saints come out of training camp with 2 more starters missing the regular season opener.
Well, we got one with Ellerby.
Fairly Unger and Armstead accounted.
We got Ellerby as one.
So he's saying 2 on top of those 3.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I hope not. I mean, it's we've like the football gods have to say, all right, enough's enough. No more injuries for you guys, right?
I mean, but the law of averages says that the 2 stars.
Right, you always lose somebody.
Yeah, and we've already lost a bunch.
Right. That's why depth is important.
Oh.
That was another big part of the 2009 season, the depth.
Well, also, we didn't have a
next
ton
man
of injuries. Well, we don't. No, we didn't have a.
Yes, we did, dude. Don't
we,
you remember?
We had some injuries, but not like this.
Don't you remember that during halfway during the season that we had to go get the Predator
McKenzie
off of the street?
We did.
the man was on the street.
We did. But it wasn't, I mean, season ending. Those guys, like Porter came back and for the playoffs. Greer came back. I know Shockey missed a few games. But it wasn't like what we're experiencing now.
Well, who had the season ending injury now?
Well, I mean, Armstead's done. I mean, they say he's maybe back in October. I call bullshit. He's not playing this year. And you already lost Fairley for the whole season. And Unger, I don't think he's going to be ready for week one. I hope he is, but I doubt it. It's probably like week two or three.
I think history shows us that anytime the Saints say when somebody's coming back, they really don't come back on time.
No.
It seems like we undersell what the injury is and then oversell the estimated return date.
Boy, it's a good thing we got Ochsner sponsoring the facility, right?
There you have it. All right, so then EdT16 says, what happens if Ramchek takes the left tackle job and runs with it? Do you trade Armstead or do you pay both next year?
Well, Ramczyk isn't going to be expensive. He's going to be on a rookie deal. So you can still squeeze him in, and if for some reason Street falls off, you can kick him to right tackle.
All right. Simple enough.
I mean, I don't know that there'd be a trade market for Armstead. Yes, he's a tantalizing talent, but he can't stay on the field. Nobody's going to trade for him, especially with the contract we gave him last year.
We would, but we've already got him.
You know, we'll find a way to trade.
We wouldn't offer
find
him
a way to trade ourselves for him, and we'll give away a pick to the
Pelicans.
Yeah, right.
All right, Damon. Do you have any things Damon found on the internet for us?
No.
All right.
Well, how about I'll give you one, the Stranger Things season two
thing
trailer
Jason found on the internet.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Well, sure.
Okay. All right. Stranger Things season two trailer. I watched it. Okay.
I thought it was great.
I didn't think it was
really exciting.
It's not the Tom Brady got milk at or anything.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to season two now. I got to go back and watch season one.
All right. They didn't tell you shit in the trailer.
What trailer's not going to tell you everything? Fuck.
Okay, but so what did you get out of the trailer that made you so freaking excited?
That we're getting back into we're getting back to the Upside Down. And it's going to be fun. We got some nice characters. It looks like it's going to be a little more scary than last year. I'm excited for it. That's what a trailer does. Trailer didn't give you away everything.
It's the same story.
Scary, whatever. It's not the well, but yeah, you have the kid who.
Oh, except the same story. Except he's not in. He's not disappeared anymore.
Not yet.
I don't know. I'm hoping it's good. I'm not giving up on it, but I'm not. I don't have as high hopes as you do.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. Then I guess we did get a request via Twitter about a little hashtag. Look at him, Thrones.
Do you want to save it for post credit scenes?
Post credits so that we avoid spoiler alerts for anybody who has not seen episodes 1 and 2 of the Game of Thrones.
If you haven't, what the fuck are you doing?
So in the meantime, we will skip final thoughts because that'll be our collective final thought, and final as in after the closing. And again, there will be spoilers. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, and if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, Daenerys.
Bye-bye, Skipster Donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
into Game of Thrones then. I think the first episode clearly better than the second, but the second...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I thought the second... I mean, look, here's my early prediction, and... I mean, clearly they're gonna do it better than The Walking Dead did, but this is shaping up to be one of those seasons where every episode is the chess match of preparing for the battle and building your collecting your alliance. I mean, it's, you know, collecting your pawns, collecting your pieces, building your alliance, setting the plans, having the conversations, discovering motivations, a lot of
having your plans ruined by your
development. And then you're gonna have a big battle at the end, which clearly, you know, just like Walking Dead, you're not gonna get any actual resolution out of. You're gonna have to wait till the next season to see how it plays out. But where they're gonna do it better is to your point that you just made, Jason. Yeah, like you're gonna actually get some action along the way, like surprise attack.
This season is only 7 episodes, so we only have 5 episodes left.
And that's another reason they'll do it better, because you're not going to have 17 episodes of playing.
That's right. Crazy.
It really is. They could have, you know, fuck them. They could have made a 10-episode season. But so next year, I mean, here's my question. I mean, next year, is it the Battle of the Kingdoms, or is it the battle with the White Wall?
See, I think this season, you're going to get the Battle of the Kingdoms.
Okay.
I think this season balances with Cersei, you know, they take King's Landing, Cersei dies, whatever, and then next season is when, like, they have to deal with, like, holy shit, there's White Walkers with fucking giant White Walkers now.
Yeah, I know
that. That was a question that I had at the last year. It's like, so they might have a giant or two, right? And
yep.
One of the first scenes of the season is like, wow, yep, they have giant
White
Walkers.
Wasn't it the first scene of the season?
You know what? Yeah. Well, no. The first scene was Arya.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That was fucking awesome.
That was one of the best scenes ever.
I mean, how badass is she not? I mean,
she killed them all.
I mean, got everybody in.
So she's going back to reunite with Jon. She chose to go north instead of south.
Right.
I did like the cinematography there with her looking back. And then looking ahead, like, do I go to my, you know, go to my past or stay toward my future? And I like how they did that.
Now, do you think,
noticed that with me?
After her run-in with the direwolf, do you think she's still going north? Because she said...
It wasn't you.
She said, that's not you. I mean, I kind of...
Or was she talking about herself?
Right, or was she talking about herself and not the wolf? Real talk. You know, like she's not that girl anymore. Is she going to go back to her mission?
Right. If you listen to her speech, right, I'm going home, you know, I forget the direwolf name. Right? I'm going home. And then the walk turns around and she goes, that's not you. That's not you anymore. So, right. Is that an internal dialogue?
We'll see.
I was thinking she's
going to run, and it still might happen, but maybe she actually runs into Jon Snow on the road. So maybe she still turns to go north again, or south, but still bumps into Jon. They got to get nice.
I thought it actually might be the Hound.
Ah, yeah, that too.
Because remember, he's out there wanting to kill people.
So... how does the meeting between Jon and Daenerys go?
Awesomely, but if I had to choose... I mean, here's the thing, because clearly, at least from what we've been led to believe, they are related, but they don't know that.
Now they're going to do it.
Well, I'm wondering, so like, how are they... I'm just thinking, like, how are they going to find out? What's going to happen? Based on the previews, it seems like he's going to arrive there next week. He's going to ask for the dragon glass, mention the White Walkers. She's going to make him kneel. He's not going to. One possibility I saw floated out there is that, you know, he's not going to go along with kneeling. She's going to sick the dragon on him to try to burn him, and he won't burn because he's actually a Targaryen.
Oh.
So that could be a way where when he doesn't burn, she'll realize... okay, shit, what's up with this dude? And then he'll realize, holy fuck, what's up with me?
Right.
So that could be a possibility of how that unfolds. I just love the fact, and even the first two episodes, there's been a lot of shifting pieces, but a lot of these factions are now gearing together, and because we're gearing up for the final war, the final battle, people that have been so far away are now, I mean, it's inevitable that it had to happen, but now that it's finally happening where people are finally meeting each other and running into each other, I love the fact, just the long-ass fucking payoff after six seasons of everybody being, and Danny especially, being completely basically off the map in Westeros. So now her actually being here, she's going to have interactions with Snow. Eventually, she's going to have interactions with Cersei. Just very excited that we're finally to this point.
No, yeah. I mean, they're definitely bringing it to, you know, a conclusion after seven seasons. I think they've all been good seasons up till now, you know. I don't see why the next two won't continue that.
No, and I think the rumor going around about next season is that the episodes next season are going to be a lot longer, like maybe an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes, maybe even an hour and 30 minutes every episode.
And is it going to be a full season? Will it be 10 episodes?
No, it's going to be 6 episodes.
Oh, smaller than this.
Yeah, fuck.
And let me guess, they're going to do 3 episodes in 2018 and 3 episodes in 2019.
No, that's what
it's going to be. 3 episodes in 2018, 1 episode in 20. It's going to be basically movies. They're going to finish the last 3 as movies released every other year, like Star Wars.
Well, but if all the episodes are an hour and a half, that's basically like having about 8 or 9 regular episodes compared to 6, you know.
That's true. Look, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you don't want them to drag it out, so you want them to drag it out.
Yeah, all right. So we only have 13. So we're down to, if we have 6 next year, so we have 11 episodes
11 left.
Period. Yeah. So basically like 1 season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all this is it's a season that's broken into 2 years, just like
Breaking
Bad.
That with The Sopranos, and I think it was shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't blame them. I mean,
in
the thing
any
is,
case,
with the shorter season, yeah, but there's no more filler now. Like, every episode is going to be fucking incredible.
Well, all right, so did y'all talk about the little speech between Daenerys and, what's his name, the bald guy?
No.
No, that was good.
I liked that interaction, and I was kind of wondering, like, how is he going to talk himself out of this one? And I think he gave a really good answer, a really good speech. You know, I choose. Right. You know, I'm not going to double cross you because I choose you. Like he's like, yeah, you're right. I will go with who I choose to follow, but I'm not going to double cross you because you are the one I'm choosing. Don't fuck with me. Like, don't, if you mess up that and be who I don't think you are, then I probably will not follow you. And she's like, yeah, you do that, I'll kill you. Feed you to my dragons. He's I'd expect nothing less.
But at the end game, okay, I mean, here, I would say we all expect or want, you know, the end game being Daenerys Targaryen sits on the Iron Throne, her dragons and her dragon glass castle defeat the White Walkers and all is, you know.
Right, and Jon Snow is the Hand of the Queen.
No. Tyrion's going to be Hand of the Queen. Jon Snow is Warden of the North, King in the North.
Okay.
That's how we all want it to end. But with the Red Wedding and, you know, killing Eddard Stark in the very first season, I mean, that doesn't, you know.
Well,
there's always twists and turns here. I mean, do you think that we get something other than...
I think if you do, you end up with a fan base who, I think, who will then forever, it'll be like the Sopranos ending. You know what I mean? It'll be another one of those situations where a great series was ruined by a stupid attempt to be whatever that is. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some things are just, that's the way the story is meant to be. You built a story. The way that you built that story has a logical conclusion that goes here. If you didn't, you know, if you wanted to maintain the element of surprise, you shouldn't have told the story this way. But, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I get it. You kill characters to surprise the audience. You make sure you remind everybody that everybody's dispensable, or, you know, nobody is untouchable, But if you do anything other than that, don't you then contradict why the entire story was told and the way it was told?
Yeah. Look, these assholes are going to throw us a curveball between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
Series. But, I mean, that's my only thing.
Well, think about the way this episode 2 ended. That was a little curveball. You didn't suspect that.
Well, I mean,
throwaway. Sand snakes, they were garbage all along.
Yeah, yeah, they were garbage. But I knew that the, King of the Iron Islands, I knew he was going to play some part that he was going to destroy the fleet.
Mm-hmm. You just didn't know it was going to happen then.
Right. I was nervous as the season started that he was going to attack them as they crossed.
Uh-huh.
So I was happy in episode 1 when they landed on Dragonstone and, so he got to
Westeros. We didn't land on Dragonstone. Dragonstone landed on us.
So I'm happy she's in Westeros with her army, with her dragons, with everything. She doesn't necessarily need a fleet, right. When she's there.
But you gotta also realize, I think what you're saying, clearly, we, the good guys, if you say like the Daenerys and the Jon Snow and all that stuff, there's a lot of characters that you love and that you wouldn't suspect are gonna die, that are gonna die. They're all pawns and bishops and knights and rooks in this big chess game where Daenerys is a queen and Cersei is a queen. I mean, in the chess game, the queens are the most powerful, and then Jon Snow is a king. It's a chess game.
Right now, it's get the bunch of queens,
Yep.
Ruling everything. Yep. And not even Sansa's in the North. He's queen of the North. Maybe Jon doesn't.
That's not on purpose? That's part of Hollywood social commentary?
I don't know. This asshole's been writing these books for the last 20 fucking years, and he can't get them finished. Who knows? But also, what about Jaime Lannister?
He's gonna been reduced to nothing this past.
Oh, but I think he has a bigger role. I think he kills Cersei.
No, so many people. Huh. So many people need to be the one to kill Cersei.
I think Arya kills Cersei. I think Arya kills Cersei.
I think it's Jaime, because the week before the series started, the HBO played them all in a row, and the first time I've sat there and watched them all. And if you're a fan of the show and you haven't watched the previous seasons, you should go back and watch, knowing what you know now, because they tell you everything makes more sense. everything makes more sense.
Hindsight being 2020,
And they tell you what they're going to do. And there's one part, and I forget what season, whatever, there's one part, but they're talking, talking to Jaime, and he just wants to get back to Cersei because he loves her. Mm-hmm. Okay? As weird as that might sound, because he loves her. And I think this is season 2,
when he's traveling with the big, tall woman knight?
Right. When he's captured, he's wanting to get back to Cersei. But then they go to King's Landing, and Cersei's talking not Arya, the other Stark woman.
Sansa.
I don't really recall. It starts with an S. So Swami. Slippy. Slappy. Slimmin. Salmon. Simmon. Swanson. Swanson?
Maybe it's on the briefcase. Look on the...
Oh, yeah! It's right here.
Sansa.
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
And he tells Sansa, don't love anyone but your children. So he doesn't have that love for, her partner.
Right. She loves power, right.
Or, let's forget it's her brother for a second. He doesn't love her partner, right. He loves her children and her power. And I think it's a very good commentary on most women, because women don't love anything but their own children and themselves. but it really is telling, so... that love, and I think Jamie is, you know, is understands that now, you know, and I think Jamie, I think Jamie takes her up.
There does seem to be a little bit of it where he's trying to appeal to any kind of sense of, like,
well,
nobility in her, like, hey, you know, we don't have to be evil people.
He realizes they're outnumbered. They don't have the forces.
Well, not just that, but he's the only person, and if I'm wrong, let me point out.
To her.
No, but he's the only person who's actually changed from, you know, who has an actual story arc, you know, a character arc, from the beginning of the series to now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a bastard. You know, not a literal bastard, but he was an asshole in the beginning.
He was a villain.
He was a villain. And then he lost his hand, and that changed him. He's had to change. Yeah. He's a different person.
And he's actually
a good guy.
And that could be the final redemption piece, right, for his whole puzzle. Right. I mean, it would make sense. It makes a lot of sense that he be the one to kill her. Now, that'll piss off a few people who probably think, Arya has a bigger need or reason. You know,
but like you said, everybody has a reason to kill Cersei.
So that's also another way to kind of take it away from the debate of, well, Arya got to do it, but so and so should have been able. So and so did, so and so should have. Well, you know what? How about none of y'all do, because Jaime's going to do it,
right?
And he's the one that you didn't. Right. He didn't even have a reason so to much, but he's the only one that could.
And again, right.
And that also keeps her a little bit of her power, right? Her level of villainousness high. Like, she's that good and that difficult to conquer that none of them actually could. Right. It took her own brother. That's the one thing she didn't. It's the house of cards that she built, right? You did all this stuff, but you missed the one little thing because you kept looking through it.
Right, but again, when she asked him, "Do you fear me?" You know, because she blames him for her father's death with letting out Tyrion.
Right,
you know, and maybe Tyrion gets to kill him. You know, because he's already killed two Lannisters, his mother and his father. Right. You know, perhaps he, you know,
but wouldn't it also make sense though for going back to the case for Jaime? He's the Kingslayer, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, but he's not the Kingslayer anymore.
That's he's going to be the Queenslayer.
Well, right. No. But he's Jaime. Right. In the beginning, he was the Kingslayer, and now he's Jaime.
Right, but he's also the only character who's killed a king, you know.
Right, I mean, face to face.
Anyway,
Going back to Brienne, do you think Tormund and her ever managed to get together before he gets shipped off? Keeps giving her that eyebrow, that look.
That's file that under storylines that I don't care about.
Oh, come on, that's funny. Come on.
I mean, there's so much more at play. But yeah,
every time you see him and he raises his eyebrow, you don't laugh.
Yeah. They're gonna do it.
Did y'all talk about Sam at the Citadel?
No.
First having to scoop up all the shit.
Yeah, that was horrible.
I could have used about like two less minutes of that montage.
Scooping
up the shit and
the way they kept going between scooping up the shit and the soup they were eating looked clever. You know, and it all looked the same. The shit and their food all looked the same.
Well, they did the same thing when he was cutting the grayscale.
Yeah, right. They went from cutting the grayscale to Arya eating the soup from Hot Pie.
Right.
Ugh.
Speaking of the grayscale thing, all right, so this a really risky, well, rarely known method of curing grayscale is what? Literally just cutting it off of, like, we never thought of that?
Well, no, he said cutting it off and putting some kind of solution on it.
And put an ointment on it. Really?
Oh, okay.
That simple? Really? No one's tried it before?
I mean, right, you know?
You bunch of bastards, really?
How come Jaren didn't just pick it off as it grew? You're like, yeah, pick the scab. It's a scab. Pick it.
Right.
So clearly he's going to be cured.
Well, you know, right. As I'm watching that, you know, I'm thinking in my head, you know, what's going to happen? Daenerys is going to be in some
predicament.
Predicament, right. And here comes, you know, Jon Mormont, you know, in with to save the day and save her, you know.
Right. Some sort of
save a battle or something.
Boy, that's what I call a sticky situation.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, so here's the question. When does Tyrion get on a dragon and ride it? No. And when does Jon Snow get on the other dragon and ride it?
When they fight the White Walkers.
Yeah.
It's going to be against the Walkers, not the assault on King's Landing.
Yeah. Right.
Well, hold on, though. I bet you one of those dragons is going to get killed by Cersei.
Well, I was going to say.
That's why Tyrion doesn't get on one. Jon Snow gets on one. And it's Daenerys and Jon Snow riding two dragons.
Riding the two.
And one dragon will be killed.
By that giant crossbow.
Yeah, by that giant arrow. That's going to piss us off.
Yeah.
That's just a dragon. You don't know him. He's one of the smaller dragons. Nobody cares.
All you secondary characters, come over here.
Right.
Speaking of, there's a whole lot of pieces of the puzzle that are going to get killed off in the battle. I mean, that's the only way to make it worthwhile. So get ready to lose a lot of people over the next few episodes, I think.
Yeah, like you said, it's basically...
Look, you lost all the Sand Snakes and the mom.
The mom
was kidnapped. You're right.
The mom and the hot one are still alive.
And Yara's probably still alive, too. Because they didn't show her getting killed, so she's...
Right.
Right. No, he had to... No. He said, I'm going to bring you... I'm not coming back until I have whatever the right gift for you or something. Remember?
Right, which is
them. Which is going to be them.
Right, the mom, because she killed Cersei's daughter.
She killed her daughter, right. Right, right. So she didn't like that.
Yeah.
So...
Now, what about the guy that... The little pussy that jumped off the side of the ship?
Theon?
Yeah.
Right.
Man.
What is he? But I guess that's the way that Daenerys is going to find out that they were sneak attacked. Right?
Well, yeah. Eventually he'll make his way back. Maybe Gendry will pick him up on his boat. One of Robert's bastards. Maybe he'll pick him up on a boat.
Does he ever have
a redemption?
I think he'll redeem himself and kill Euron. I mean, he's got to, right? He's got to have some kind of redemption moment, right?
If he, I'm okay if he doesn't. This was his chance to do it. If he didn't do it here, at this point, that's who he is, and you just have to accept it. There is no redemption for him.
There's no Theon, only Reek.
No, but he was never. He was a fucking piss ass pussy. That's Theon too. He turned on the Snows.
Well,
he sold him out. He is that guy. That's who he is. Every story needs one.
Yeah, right. But now he's so psychologically damaged from the time of
You're
Randy
excusing Bolton. It. You're letting but don't forget that before he was damaged, he was still that guy.
Yeah, but he had a little more confidence, but that was also when he still had a dick.
So, right. He's still that guy. So, fuck him.
Okay. We'll see.
He is the Roger Goodell of Game of Thrones.
He has already gotten the bat with razor blades up his ass.
And he liked it.
I don't know about liking it.
All right. Anything else about Game of Thrones, or are we done here?
Just, I'm excited it's fucking back. It's going to be a shame in 5 weeks when it's over, but the good thing is, by the time it's over,
it's football
season. NFL season will be starting.
That's a good way to look at it. All right, don't forget, check out Rack. That show's getting weirder by the moment, but...
Yeah, I watched last week's episode tonight.
Now let's go bang that pirate.
Yeah, right? When they both have the different dreams.
I know.
No jam band music.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our Game of Thrones piece. Maybe we'll talk about it next time.
I mean, it seems like... Since there's only 5 more episodes, why not talk about it at the end of every episode?
Yeah.
As well.
There you have it, folks. It's your Dome Patrol podcast and Game of Thrones.
Bye-bye, dragons. On my own, here we go. Dry. My face is new.
Rock is live.